Welcome everyone back to Roleplay Swan Song. It's week 48. Wheat, I had to wait to start the show because you were giving some fatherly advice and everyone was laughing. I have to know what really the fuck is happening.
Did you guys hear it then? Yeah. You got, okay. I'll break it. I mean, actually, I'd love to hear from your perspective that conversation.
The best part was, how are you ever going to own a pet? He was like, you own pets. You do pet ownership.
Yeah. Okay, so Mini Week came in and was like, he came in and he sort of did the like the high dance, and I'm like, dude, the show's about to start. A question, because like I think you got a question. He's like, yeah, one of the cats puked upstairs, and I was like, okay, can you clean it up? And he sort of gave me this look like, no, I can't. And so my response was, how are you ever going to own pets?
Yeah,
and
then, that's a great response.
Did you see it? It turned around. And suddenly I'm like, get a bunch of paper towels. Like, I don't care if even in this instance you use an excessive amount, whatever you're comfortable with, just scoop it up, get it in. He's going to report back to me. So we'll find out in a little bit whether or not, you know, we got we had success, or if he's just like, I couldn't do it. I couldn't.
I like that. You went full nuclear on him right off the bat. You're like, you'll never own an animal ever.
How are you?
Yeah. Yeah, smart.
I mean, it's the way to go.
That's, true. You know,
if he suddenly is like, oh, I'm never going to own a cute Scottish full munchkin cat, you know, like this. So there you go.
There you go.
Got him.
Well, as we do, let's discuss some recent media. I think the biggest thing will be Batman vs. Superman. Who has seen it? I think only three of us have seen it. Oh, four of us. Steven hasn't seen it.
Everyone but Steven. I think in French Canada it comes out next year in summer.
Well, you guys always give me shit for like seeing things late. You don't realize it's just like the release schedule for Quebec is like 2 years behind.
So this is the thing. This is the thing in Canada. We make jokes about it. But okay, so when I bought my microwave, it came with a sticker thing for the front of the microwave with all the buttons in French. So yep. The microwave would have taken longer to make. So, you know, they got to be able to, you go to a movie and you press a button, you get to hear it in French or English.
It's totally.
There you go. There you go.
I do not care about spoilers. Okay. You guys can go for it.
I think I know where Jeff stands. I got just by tweets. I don't know where Wheat stands. I didn't know that you went and saw it, Wheat. So let's start with Wheat.
I'm just going to shut the door, you know, because it might get loud in here.
Like, I'm surprised. I'm excited because Wheat generally likes really bad movies, but also has
good comic book. Wheat does have terrible taste. Yeah,
I'll tell you what. Like at first, yeah. I mean, obviously, I went in knowing that it was already performing pretty poorly, so expectations were set.
Ratings wise, it's killing the box office.
Because
people love trash. That's
right. Exactly. Yeah. We can go into specifics, but I really enjoyed the first sort of the opening in terms of like seeing the different perspective. That was probably my favorite part of like, I'm like, man, I must have liked Man of Steel because at least I'm getting to see that same shit from a different perspective, you know?
Yeah.
The immediate 18-month time skip actually makes fucking no sense at all. They're like, they don't handle this well. I feel like it has a big effect on the story because it totally, I do not buy any of the motivations that then occur from that point forward. They seem all discombobulated and not fucking right.
Discombobulated is the perfect word for that entire film.
Yes.
Like, what was even going on?
Here's the crazy part, right? I would consider myself, you know, not even in the DC world, but like, fuck, I know a thing or two when it comes to the DC world. And so when that whole fucking portal open thing happened, I was seriously like, I'm digging deep. Like, I'm digging real deep. You know what
I'm talking about? It was really weird when that happened, yeah.
And so, and then...
You know who that was, right?
Yeah, it's
Flash.
It's Flash from the future, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was Flash from the future.
It's supposed to be pretty confirmed.
It's supposed to be Barry Allen. Yeah.
They're for sure on that.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Regardless, like it didn't have a place. It
was so really fucking weird when that happened. It was one of those things where it happened. I was like, did that just fucking happen? Did we just wake up from a dream? Is this Inception that I'm watching?
Right. So
like, what the fuck?
by the end of the movie, what I felt like I was getting was a sloppy setup for the Justice League. And I really feel like it wasn't even fucking fair to call it Batman versus Superman, or Superman versus Batman, whatever the fuck it's called, because, like, frankly, they kind of half-assed all of that shit. And it
I was amazed that Zack Snyder managed to make a movie that was so incongruous and still 3 fucking hours long. Like, it was almost 3 hours long, and there was still, like, all of these, like, empty points or, like, threads that didn't go anywhere. Yeah, random 20-minute flash sideways to an alternate universe. It's like, what are you even doing?
Yeah, that was weird that they flashed sick, to the Injustice. Also, I thought the choreography, and my roommate pointed this out as well, choreography in the fucking Injustice world was real weird. Like, Batman was, like, hitting people, but like 5 inches from their face, and they were still flying back.
Actually, Anna noticed that too. So
it's really weird.
I think for me, it was, I ended up actually, I would say, enjoying it. Obviously, I'm not going to look anyone in the eye and say it was like a really good movie, but I had my expectations beaten so low that I went into it, and the plot hole shit, like Doomsday stabbing Superman, by the way, it doesn't make any sense at all. Like, any stretch of the means. But other than like there was a lot of that kind of stuff. I agree with Wheat, everything he said about like the Adam using really good words for basically explaining very bad story. But it was them cramming everything in. Here's an introduction to Aquaman, Cyborg, Wonder Woman. Where Ben Affleck is Batman, who, by the way, I thought did a great job.
He's a pretty good Batman, turns out.
Superman's not Batman. Like, that was really shocking, right? I was wondering how they were going to pull that off, by the way, because last 20 minutes is the funeral.
Jeff, can I please hear your opinions on fucking Martha?
So, yeah, there's a lot of people really bothered by that, but in this movie, in order to enjoy it at all, you have to do a lot of work for them, in my opinion. So the whole, like, I thought they kind of said that he says Martha at the beginning of the movie. They do connect a few dots where it is like he's obviously very supercharged about his parents' death. That's Batman in a nutshell. It obviously, no one's gonna look at you and be like, oh no, they did plenty of work to make that whole thing. Like, he's got the spear above Superman about to kill him, and he's like, save Martha. And he's like, why are you saying that name? It's like, that's my wife. The girlfriend comes in, like, that's his fucking mother, dude. Like,
she's the annoying person sitting next to you in the theater explaining the movie while you're watching it. Like, that's his mom.
We had one of those people. Yeah, I had one of those people in our theater.
Oh, dude.
By the same frustrating token, Snyder makes you do all this work, but also makes you sit through the first 20 minutes of like, hey, you want to know about Batman? Are you one of the only people on Earth who still doesn't know Batman's origin story?
I'm going to throw up if I ever see that goddamn murder scene again.
Poster, none of that shit.
Just, I feel like you have to do that, though. You almost have to.
I think they do in this movie because they're revamping it.
So yeah. Comparing and contrast, if Civil War makes us sit through Spider-Man's origin story again.
Fuck me, man.
Like,
I'll tell you what, it's just the problem with the genre.
But
they give me control of Batman, and I am going to deliver that scene. But you know what's going to happen? They're going to walk away happily. And then all of a sudden, it's just going to go on with the movie. It's going to be like 30 minutes of just like a pretty normal drama shit that happens.
Actually, a porno. It's just a rich guy slamming famous.
And then like actresses. They're just going to be driving to church, and you're going to have forgotten about the fact that you're even watching a Batman movie, and a fucking meteor is just going to come out of the sky. It's going to be ridden by the person who will be the Joker, and it will, you know, be like.
I thought you were going to go the other. Have you seen what is the comic where that happens, where Batman's parents aren't killed, but he's killed, and then his father becomes Batman?
Right.
Oh, I don't know.
Jeez. I don't know what that one's called. That's
good. Since we're nitpicking, by the way, what did you guys think? Oh god, I just lost my train of thought. No. Okay, wait. A lot of the comments, and let me set this up correctly. Everyone's like, oh wow, you know, bad, whatever. But they were like, man, Wonder Woman stole the show. Now, in my opinion, in the 8% of the movie that she's actually in, she does a great job. There's no complaints against her at all. The badass music that comes on, the power.
I thought really the badass music was fucking hilarious. I thought that was the dumbest thing in the movie. Every time it's like that, she like pops on the screen, and then this like weird Amazonian music happens. I'm like, what the fuck is happening?
Oh, dude.
Anyways,
go ahead. Finish your thought. Yeah.
the point is, it was really weird how many people came out and said, like, literally the phrase is stole the show. I don't even know how that's fucking possible.
Here's my thought. Okay. This wasn't Star Wars where fucking everyone claps when fucking Star Wars come up. I was in a theater that was pretty packed. And what was the one time that there was a clapping was when fucking Wonder Woman came on. And partially really? Because, yeah, yeah.
I had a lot of claps and cheers. The biggest one we got was when Batman did the Dark Knight pose on the side of the building for like a half a second. Oh, everyone was like, "Oh really? My god!"
Oh, okay. That's what happens when you see it on the Sunday after it comes out, or the Saturday, whatever.
Yeah. I saw it on Thursday opening.
I just feel like maybe because they gave her a grand entrance over everyone else, whereas, here's the other thing, you guys. You know, like I'm pretty sure that even, you know, at some point fathers sit down with their sons and there's like, son, there's 10 things that you need to know in order to get through fucking life. And maybe number 8 or like 7.3 is like, Batman, don't fucking use guns, bro. Like, that's like a universal rule that no one ever breaks. So just know that.
It feels like every movie we get with Batman slowly deviates further and further away from that. Like, you know, in the Christian Bale ones, it's like, okay, maybe he like accidentally collaterally.
He's not Batman,
He's not shooting them on purpose. And then in this one, it was just like he's shooting kind of like near them. Like, did he actually shoot the guy or did he just knock him down? But eventually it'll just be like, yeah, Batman sticks a gun in a dude's mouth.
Dude, he not only at one point had that big fucking like M50.
Yeah, he had the big grenade launcher.
The whole like, you know, trap with the fucking things that can. And I'm just like.
You guys are still forgetting the funniest part of the entire movie, though.
That's not true. I mean, Frank Miller is probably the one guy who can break that rule.
What's that, JP? Probably can.
Funniest part of the movie, I said this last week on Drop Frames. Funniest part of the movie is when, you know, everything's going crazy at the end. There's this giant fucking fight. And then just in the middle, the music drops out and Superman just randomly turns and says, I love you, out of fucking nowhere. Like, literally nothing provokes this scene. It happens, and I audibly laughed in the theater because it was so fucking random. Enforced. It was the stupidest
thing. There's some bad writing. I thought the part in the previews, it ends up looking kind of badass, kind of, but in the movie, he's like, hey, this is mercy. I could kill you, but I won't. And he like walking, he like, starts to flutter away, and Batman's like, hey, do you bleed? And he looks at him, and even in the movie, he gives the look that every person would look, and they're like, what in the fuck? And he flies away. He's like, what?
The best part of that is after he flies away, where Batman's like, well, you're gonna.
So it's not a badass line. It's not even delivered very well. He rips his fucking car roof off. He stands up and he's like, knock your shit off, I'll kill you. And he's like, do you bleed? But it's like, it's not a badass line. It's not like, I will make you bleed. It's like, do you? I need to know because I'm doing research and I'm pulling tires back at home.
Yeah.
I'm really fucking buff. I'm super strong,
The thing about Batman and Superman fighting and their whole like moral code opposition thing is that it's toothless, right? Like, it's like watching two Canadians get in a fist fight. Like, neither of them is gonna do.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, like, yeah. Just yeah. I don't want to, but I, you know, like, I don't know.
Also, I hated the part that his whole plan, by the way, Batman's plan, was first of all for him to walk through a bunch of machine guns, which it's like, what in the fuck are you even doing? You already know the answer to this. Everyone knows the goddamn answers. You saw him pile drive a man through a building that crashed with your people inside.
What, like, if they were Kryptonian tipped bullets, though?
If they were, that would have been cool. They weren't. And then his plan is he has 3 gas grenades, shoots the first one. That was kind of cool. And Superman's like, Jesus Christ. And he like gets defeated a little bit. Then Superman gets mad when he starts to kind of shake off the effects. And I'm like, well, surely he won't get hit by another goddamn smoke grenade. Boy, was I in for a surprise as Superman charging at him and just takes it in the chest again. Like, it really hurt my immersion. Like, I'm doing all this mental legwork and I'm like, this guy's a god. Yeah. And he's like, Jesus, this grenade's really dangerous to me. He shot another one. Nah, I'm going to run into it. It's fine.
The funniest part about the entire like situation of the movie, I think, of people just losing their minds. I'll go and read Reddit. I'll go read NeoGAF. People are posting like fucking essays about this movie, and it is hilarious. Because like, I enjoyed the movie regardless of all the fucking giant holes in it. I still had a fun time watching it. But like, going in some of these threads, there's like 5,000 word posts like breaking down like Zack Snyder's life and why he makes his movies like this and like what the reasoning is behind him doing all these. And I'm just like, it's a fucking movie, man. Like, just
so like, I actually think ridiculous. That's actually, I haven't read into that, but like Zack Snyder makes movies in a way that like when you watch a movie, you really know it's Zack Snyder who made it.
Right, right. Well, it's got really the Snyder effect, yeah. The action, yeah. For sure.
And, like, I don't know. I think that's, like, how many other filmmakers you can really say that about? Like, Tarantino and...
I mean, like, every good one ever. All good directors ever.
I guess
that's true. You're going to watch a Scorsese movie and be like, who did this again?
Zack Snyder is not regarded as a good director, right?
So except of action sequences, which is
Someone in chat said the movie would have been a full hour shorter if the slow-mo was at regular speed. That's pretty good.
I came away from this like I think Star Wars is a better movie, episode 7. So not the same comparison, but the feeling I had of like I'm excited for more. This is the first time in a DC movie where I'm like I want the next one. I want to see Affleck as Batman again. I want to see
really? That,
like, Frank Miller style. I enjoyed I'm excited for Justice League. Like, they very clearly are introducing Darkseid, and I think Darkseid is one of the coolest there is.
I felt like the antagonism was super bad in this, so hopefully, like, Darkseid is better. Because, like, Luthor, his rant at the end where he's like, he's coming. It's like, how do you know? No. Where was the scene where we got to figure that out?
I think that
scene. It's in the director's cut. But that was one of the weird things, too, for me. Like, everyone's like, Lex Luthor, that was terrible. It was horrible. The whole time I'm like, what are they talking about? It's like, yeah, okay, like this is
not like him.
It's kind of bad. But the final scene where he presses his face through the bars and it's going ding 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 ding.
That was really weird.
I was like, Jesus Christ. All right, this is that did it right there.
I like that. It was actually probably one of my favorite. I did like him in general, but I felt like,
well, he was just playing Mark Zuckerberg again, right? Like that, yeah, we were talking about this last time. Yeah. Like, it was a different Luthor.
It's not Luthor from anything, though. Yeah. It's like he wanted so desperately to be the Joker effect in this movie. He's like, people will, when I die of a drug overdose, they're gonna remember this performance as one of the greatest ever. It's like, no, you're way overdoing it.
Yeah.
Lex Luthor's like a really cerebral.
Well, it wasn't even Lex Luthor. It was his son, wasn't it?
Yeah, I assumed it was supposed to be his kid, like the real Lex Luthor. It's his kid. And he was all weird and like, yeah, kept talking about his dad all the time. And like, I think we were supposed to get that he was like not really a very effective Lex Luthor on purpose.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll turn into Brainiac and that'll be fun. Maybe that's
nobody. I held off on really exploding about this because I was waiting for somebody who's got like waist deep in Superman comics to correct me on this, but how the fuck are they supposed to explain that Doomsday stabs Superman? How? There's no Kryptonian in that kryptonite in that guy at all.
Because he had the spear of Longinus or whatever, and it was like weakening him by proximity. Like it was just the fact it was around him.
Yeah, the Kryptonian tip spear.
Okay, all right.
That's probably why. Yeah.
That's the best answer.
I mean. Ultimately, I feel like I walked out of this movie and I'm like, yep, I'm really excited for the next Marvel movies coming out. Like, oh, fuck it. Guardians of the Galaxy 2 won't let me down. You know, like, they have a long ways to go to figure their shit out. And it's interesting because the previous strategies, which even going back to, you know, before they completely fucked up Michael Keaton, like the original Michael Keaton Batman, you know, still holds up. And everything with the Christian Bale Dark Knight series, I felt was like phenomenally well done. But like, I'm still not sold on where they're going with all of this. Like, I hope that, you know, we get a fucking.
Well, eventually, Captain America's going to fight Iron Man. That's the.
Well, that's okay because that's like a really fucking, you know, like that's a popular arc that exists. But I mean, like, I just don't know if I'm. Like, if the next movie is action-packed and fucking amazing and, like, all the... Then I'll be in. But I feel like this was not, like, the Avengers setup where...
We were talking about this on the way home from the movie yesterday. And, yeah, like, it felt like with Marvel, they earned the Avengers, right? They took years and made so many movies so that when they threw characters into the Avengers, it was a big deal and you had context for them. But in this, it was just like, here's a bunch of bullshit you don't know anything about.
Well, they also, I don't think when Iron Man 1 came out, they weren't like, hey, we're doing the Avengers. It was just like, hey, here's Iron Man 1.
It was the success.
And then it fucking happened, and it was like, wow, that was actually really good. Let's do a second one. And then they're like, what if we just went full throttle and did everything? And then that's kind of what happened, I think.
No, it's fucking eerie and cool. Like, I've told the story a million times, but they had done Spider-Man, I think, for the 17th goddamn time. And literally, they were all so bad that there was no talk of, you know, like, Marvel was making, you know, movies that were doing okay, but it wasn't crazy good.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
literally, Stan Lee at a fucking green room party says, hey, he says to me, and I'm not, I didn't start or anything like that. I'm just saying this, like, it was crazy how in tune he was. He said, soon there's a movie coming out. It's called Iron Man. You should check it out. It's going to be incredible. And he was so goddamn right. It blew up the planet. Like, all of a sudden, action hero movies, or superhero movies, rather.
Yeah.
Other than Batman, were like box, just huge movies. And that was one of the first ones to ever do that. And then, you know, the next one came. And they kind of found a formula of, like, don't take yourself too goddamn serious. Have a little bit of dark in there. And keep it light a little bit as well. And that, like, that safe formula is really good.
Yeah.
And I can't remember who I was talking to about this, but I also think that empowered them to take risks like Guardians of the Galaxy. That's goddamn risk. Like, they went goofy. They went off the cuff. These are characters that nobody cares about, except for that one guy on our channel right now is telling me that they're the best ever. But up until that movie, those comics were bad. Dan Abnett had to rewrite them because they were so goddamn bad.
They were.
And also Deadpool, a rated R hero movie, like that too had not really been tried, and that kicked ass. Like, so they're experimenting now with their success, and I think it's incredible.
Yeah, I think there's a Time, I think it was Time magazine, that basically talks about how Marvel was just like completely fucking bankrupt at one point, and then they started. I think it was maybe That's like correct. After the Blade movies or something like that.
Oh, that's correct.
And then they started actually doing good things.
That's one of the reasons why Fox owns X-Men and Sony owns Spider-Man.
Yeah, because they couldn't pay for it or whatever, right?
No.
Nope. Yeah.
Nope.
So there you go.
Sold them off.
But soon it will all return to the motherland.
Yeah. Such a good time, though. Like, X-Men is good, too. Like, the original X-Men series was awesome until the third one, I think, is where we can really mark
themselves.
Yeah. But then they revamped it with X-Men First Class, and that was like the beginning of something awesome. Marvel's hitting their stride. I agree that DC is kind of leagues away and behind, and I agree that this was a bad movie, but after Christian Bale, I was like, who the fuck? Are they going to have Pierce Brosnan play Batman or something like that? Like, who's it going to be? And then they said Ben Affleck, and I was like, Jesus, I don't like that
guy. Yeah, everyone fucking went crazy, yeah.
He did a great job, and I'm excited for more Batman. I guess they offered him 3 movies himself, and I don't know if he took it or not, but there's supposed to be more Batman.
Well, I didn't know that. Let's go around the horn real quick. Just see what everyone's been up to. Jeff, we'll start with you. Anything new, crazy? We got 6 minutes, so 2 minutes a person.
Hi, I'm leaving tomorrow for Chicago to go to Adepticon, which is like the age-old Warhammer tournament. It's kind of like the mecha travel, so I'm going to have a lot of fun playing there. It'll be nice. That's where I'll be.
Are you taking your entire set?
No, Jesus Christ, no. I own like $10,000 or $15,000 of each Tyranids and Adeptus Mechanicus. It's a lot. Actually, more than that, because the fucking Warlord Titan himself is about 5 or 6. And then when I get back, I'm hopefully going to be launching my new shirt, which I'm really excited about.
Nice.
Without that graphic. And that's pretty much it in my little corner of the world, man. That's what I've been doing. I'm doing a bunch of gigs.
You were about to be. I like how you're about to say shit, and you stopped yourself.
You know that too.
No, I do that all the time.
No, I'm doing a DreamHack Austin coming up, which is cool, and I think I'm pretty much confirmed. I don't know who I'm working with, but I'm going to be doing the Twitch booth at Emerald City Comic Con as well, which is going to be really fun.
Wait, what's Emerald City?
Seattle.
Oh,
Seattle.
I didn't know they called it that. Wait, what have you been up to?
So I had my mom and niece in town for like the last 5 days. So I've also been doing like half touristy stuff, which includes a lot of eating. So I am still getting over like food coma from many times. But it's always fun to like, especially be like, hey, come to San Francisco. We're going to eat in an awesome place. And a part of this experience is waiting in line for 30 minutes or an hour, you know? So, it was good though. We had fun and went around and did, you know, some thing, went to Japantown and Chinatown, and they went to Alcatraz. I didn't go, but a few other places. So I'm just kind of like getting back into it. I got my new TV. I'm really excited about that.
Nice, yeah.
However, I let the Samsung representative know this as well. They got the new TV. It was through Amazon scheduled delivery, which is kind of nice. Or they contract out to different companies. They come, they set up your TV, they plug it in, they make sure there's no damage, then they take it away. Amazon then doesn't need the original packaging if you have problems with it. Anyway, point being is that, so they leave. I'm like, sweet. It's 7 a.m. I get to set up my new TV and the fucking remote doesn't work, right? So I try everything and I'm looking and trying to figure out blah, blah, blah. I actually end up calling Samsung and I'm just like, steam's coming out of my ears. I get through right away because thankfully it's like Saturday morning. And she, you know, after keeping me on hold for like 15 minutes, goes, oh, have you tried holding it 3 inches from the television, holding down these two buttons and then pressing this button and this button? I'm like, no, let me try it right now. And that fixed it. I scoured that manual and it didn't exist. And she confirmed that it didn't exist. And I'm like, don't you think that this would be a pretty fucking good thing to add to your manual now, or maybe a little quick start?
That's the tried and true Best Buy trick. That's where the Best Buy Geek Squad has one up on
God.
You.
Because then people come and spend $70 to have some dude roll up in
a. They're like $200, bro. They're expensive.
Oh man, that made me so mad. But I'm enjoying my new TV. Curved is great. I'm really happy with it so far. So I get 4K streaming on Netflix. I'm super fucking stoked about that shit.
Do they have Daredevil in 4K?
They do. They have and House of Cards as well.
Oh, nice.
I haven't. I've only seen like one or two movies, but.
What was that, Jeff?
I finished Better Call Saul. That's a goddamn good show.
Season one or two?
It is. Is there a season two?
Yeah. There is a season two. Yeah.
On Netflix?
Oh my God. It's still airing. Oh my God, Jeff. If you also are a Breaking Bad fan, season two is just going to fucking make it.
Yeah. Well, it
starts. It's
so good.
One.
Yeah. It's so good.
Cool. Yep. Thank you.
I need to watch more of that show. Maybe I'll start watching that show. I'm like six episodes in and I stopped. Adam, what have you been up to?
Getting ready for some Star Wars next weekend.
That's true. We made our characters. I'm pretty excited about that.
Oh, I thought you meant because it actually releases.
No, it actually, you can get on Amazon in two days.
Yeah.
Something like
that. I'll definitely be watching it again.
I think I'm going to watch it before we play. Yeah.
Craziest thing. I actually made a character as well, and I'm just going to pretend to be with you guys. Every episode, I'm just going to be like, and then I said this and be like,
nice.
I'll roll for dexterity as well.
The best part about that is after we had like finished character creation for the most part, Adam dipped out. And then it was the rest of us. And I was just looking at all the ship prices in the fucking book. It's like 50 million credits for a Star... Or no, it's 180 million credits for a Star Destroyer or some shit like that.
What'd you think about it? A Star Destroyer for 180 million credits is kind of a...
It's kind of a steal if you think about it.
Really, if you... You know, it's an investment. You settle in for the long term.
I like the idea of paying debt, though. Who cares? We're like, oh, fuck. Gotta pay that off, I guess.
Yeah.
Totally make a new
season. I also want to do a sideshow. I haven't talked to Adam about this yet, but I want to do a sideshow, Adam, where we get a crew that just runs an AT-AT, and they're just the AT-AT crew, and that's what they do. They just fucking run the AT-AT because it's in the game. It's got every fucking thing. It has all the roles, all the stats, so we can just have AT-AT fights. It'd be great.
There you go.
It'd be super fun.
Yeah, it'd be like a destruction derby. But
it'd be the fury of the Star Wars world, all right? That's what it's going to be.
I would be a hut and just encumber every mission, like not be able to.
You gotta carry me.
I was like peering through a fucking door frame. Like, whoa,
it's like every D&D character who's ever played someone whose whole thing is about their character's horse, right? Where they're like, yes, I have this mighty steed, and everyone's like, how are we gonna go to the dungeon? And the paladin's like, guys, my horse can't go down into the dungeon, so
I shall stand guard outside.
I took all the horse feats.
It's almost like when someone decides to use a lance instead of any other weapon in the book.
Dumb as shit.
Yeah.
True. So yeah, I've been prepping for Star Wars and watching Batman and Superman fight each other.
I think it's so cool that JP's character, instead of having a true like traditional lightsaber, has a shovel lightsaber.
Yep.
Really cool.
Big crazy combat shovel.
Combat lightsaber shovel.
You know, people ask a lot, like, you know, what's the game going to be like? You know, what time are you setting it in? You know, and I figure it's just going to be Wookiee Life Day every episode.
Yeah.
The whole show. Just as much Wookiee Life Day as we can get. They'll be singing. It's going to be great.
Again, we're also going to do a one shot about a group of Ewoks who are of the Spec Ops section and walk around and kill people.
So. I had a long conversation on my stream the other day about the parallels between the Ewoks on Endor and the current situation in Afghanistan, and how the Ewoks might be a parallel for the Taliban. Okay. You know, the more you think about it, the more you start to realize that the Death Star might have been an inside job. If you really look at the facts.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, proton torpedoes can't melt steel beams.
That's what I'm saying, man. I know we're on the level here.
It's true.
They can hit a Minok at 16 parsecs.
That's very true. Steven, what have you been up to the past week?
Roller Coaster Tycoon World launches tomorrow to early access.
Nice. Is this a nerve-wracking evening? Is this a finally evening?
No, this is fine. Like, our internal deadline was a week ago because it's like that's when we had to lock down for the gold version. And, you know, there have been, like, emergency bug fixes over the past week or whatever. But that's not really on the design team. So I've been mostly working on patch, you know, like 1.1 or whatever stuff. Like, you know, updating coaster stats. Cool stuff like that. So, like, yeah, if you're into, like, roller coasters and the tycooning thereof, definitely check it out.
There you go. What time does that launch?
I think it's like 4 p.m. tomorrow. I'm going to have to double check.
Nice.
But yeah.
Nice. Well, cool. We made our. We're 2 minutes over. I'm sorry, YouTube. It's not 30 minutes. It's 32 in the comments. But Adam, go ahead and take over the show.
Get it going. All right. So previously on Swan Song, Crystal.
What's Marcus's new character's name? I actually forgot. I didn't even see.
Yeah, so
Abuela, right?
Is Abuela
Crystal? Yeah. Remember, I'm gonna be
Crystal Castles. So yeah, in the last episode, there was some stuff with some crystals. There was a Piani weirdness, and then she disappeared. But when we start this episode, this is one of those ones where we get the little like before the credit scene, and the fade in. There's a Johnny Cash cover of Personal Jesus that would be playing during this whole sequence. And it fades in on the music, and you're having one of those nightmares again where it's like there's always blood. There's blood every time. Someone always dies in your dreams. And sometimes it's the, you know, the well-meaning truck driver gets shot in the back of the head. Sometimes it's the nightmare about the space station. Other times it's the nightmare about the man in the suit with the knife. And every time they come back just like as bad as the last time. This one though is especially bad. We see the machine punching through someone's helmet. And you keep seeing yourself in the dream, right? It's you, but her hair is different and she's dressed differently, but you keep seeing her and you catch her, you know, in the reflection of a starship panel, or, you know, you see her in the mirror. And, I think as this time, as the nightmare builds to its end, you see the angels, and sometimes they show up in your dreams, but not so much lately. It's been a while. You see these angels, these robed angels, and they're leading you, to this capsule. And so we're kind of seeing from the outside perspective what Piani saw last time. And she's led up to the capsule and put into it, and it's closed. And you feel a small, like warm, soft hand in yours. And you look down and you see the child. You see a little like kid. And the two of you walk away. You turn your back on the angels and their prisoner. And we hear somewhere in the distance the kind of like faint sound of a phone ringing, like the beeping of a phone. And then we see Piani, blonde Piani, snap awake on, you've fallen asleep on the shuttle between Anaximander and the university. So you look at your phone and yeah, it's Vito, and he's almost certainly calling to check in on you. You look around and the passenger area of the shuttle is like full of people. People come and go from the planet surface all the time. You're headed back and you can see the ship approaching as you move towards it, or the planet. Do you answer your phone? Yeah.
I look at the phone, I put it down, And when it gets to that sixth or seventh ring and doesn't pick up,
mm-hmm.
I think I answer.
Okay. All right. So you, yeah, you pick up and yeah, it's Vito, of course, calling you again. You can't leave well enough alone either, right? Like this is probably the third time he's called you since he said goodbye at the spaceport and sent you back up to the planet. And yeah, so he doesn't even let you say hello. He's just like, Kia.
Yes.
It's going to be more complicated than we talked about before. Listen, I'm sorry. I know I said this was going to be easy. All you had to do was take the case up, give it to my people. But there's been a complication. I'm going to send you some photos. Let me know when you get them. And before he even finishes the sentence, your phone like vibrates with more like notifications.
I take a look at it. I mean, I just slip it off.
Yeah, yeah. So you take a look at your pad, your comm pad, and you see maybe with a chill, you see a figure from your dreams. You see his face grainy through the security footage, so it's hard to make him out. But you've never really got a good look at his face in your dreams either. He's got like a little bit of a kind of like smirk on his face. There's some blood splattered on his cheek, and you've definitely seen that look before. And so you get this kind of like shiver that runs down your spine looking at it. There's a few more other photos, different angles, but they all look to be security footage from one of the housing areas of the university.
So respond. How is this complicating things?
So he says, you get a message back and he's like, I think the syndicate sent these people after us. They're going to interrupt the operation. Sacrament's going to go ahead as we said, but I need you to look into it. Try to figure out who they are, what they're doing here, how much they know. Just play stupid. Do the student thing.
I message back then. Don't you have someone who can do this? Don't you have someone else that can, you know, track this down?
Yeah, he messages you back and he's like, well, yeah, sure, but nobody I trust as much as you, baby.
I just text back, okay, consider it done.
Okay. All right. So you you press a button, put the phone back in your pocket, and the rest of the trip goes in the same way it usually does. It's quiet and smooth. You've made this trip 1,000 times. So we see this, we pan out and we see this shuttle kind of like flying towards the planet. And then we cut over to Higgs and Eric and Alpharius. Where are you? What are you doing? Piani's gone missing. There's still this kind of like situation where she just disappeared. I mean, you all were on the bad end of the crystal explosion. So
yeah.
Where are you doing?
Did we get back to the ship?
Yeah, we were on our way back to the ship. Yeah.
Yeah. You've done basically nothing since then, except like leave the ship to get sorted out.
Yeah.
I think we were rebuilding the scene in the cargo room. The cargo space.
Yeah, because we got all the data from all the cameras, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So maybe that's what we see. Maybe instead of seeing the three of you right away, we see like an empty cargo hold, and then hologram projectors start building these like skeleton models in green light of the room. You see one of Pi's robot body being built. The crystals start to assemble, and then Pi, by way of the ship's hollow projectors, start to just like roll whatever the cameras gave you. So you see over and over again, like Piani open the door, go inside, the crackle, everything fizzes out, and then it just rolls the loop again. You see them come down the hall, same thing.
Adam, with these videos of this psychic phenomenon, does my Psytech skill allow me to analyze them in any special way to start figuring out what actually happened?
Not with the projection equipment you have on hand, because what it's currently doing is you're watching it and you're getting video, right? You're getting a visual representation of what happened. Maybe there's sound as well, but the third sense that would you normally have to have with a SciTech projector, there's no recording of the ambient psychic stuff that's going on.
Got it. So like I couldn't even bring it to some other sort of analysis device in order to get that information.
Sure. It's like a video, feed missing audio. You can't have it added in later.
Yeah. Actually that's not entirely true apparently.
Yeah. Okay.
I've read about like freaky future tech that like can get your voice from like reflections.
Sure. The vibration.
Yeah, whatever.
You know what I mean?
Like I've got pieces of Kia's computer. Is there any way we can like plug them in or solder them onto some sort of, or, you know, makeshift motherboard in order to access the information that's on them?
Well, so that's something else. So the three of you have this 3D representation of what's been going on, but you also like on a workbench somewhere have like all of these like crystal samples, some of which contain pieces of Pi's like right. construction. And then also, yeah, like bits from Kia's room.
Yeah.
So yeah, you could work on like reassembling some of that stuff. It would take some time, but it's certainly something possible.
Like Pi is still on the ship and responsive and everything, right?
Yep.
I think I would go to them about the body.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That we have.
Okay, so the two of you are working together. On that.
Yeah.
Okay. And what, Alpharius and Higgs, what are the two of you doing?
Alpharius, what are you doing?
I don't think anything interesting.
I think Higgs is basically like having Pi project what he thinks happens into the room or something like that. And like going through all the hypothetical situations and like anything that he brings up, Higgs just has the tone of like, this is your fault, and it just seems kind of like a parent scolding a young child or something like that.
Sure.
But yeah, I'm just like running through hypothetical situations. Yeah. That type of stuff.
Totally. Okay. Yeah. Pi is being unresponsive, not in a like they're broken kind of way, but they're sulking or pouting. They're frustrated or angry. They're not like, you know, they're doing what you ask, but they're not responding if you goad them.
I'm like scouring the cameras or like checking news feeds and stuff like that, just doing the peripheral stuff.
Okay. Sure. Okay. So yeah, it doesn't look like it. I guess you don't have access to everybody's like communication feeds or anything, but there's definitely something going on. There's some posts about like something weird happened at this dorm. You know, what's that about?
Okay.
You know, people, because a bunch of people were passed out for no reason, right? And maybe there's like a campus security board posting that's like, regarding the incident at the Southeastern domicile, there was a gas leak that may have caused you to feel like dizzy or uncomfortable. If this happened to you, please see like a local, like they've sent a medical team to go and check on everybody because of reports of people passing out.
I'm wondering if there's a way for me to get on that team.
Like
the medical response team.
I mean, maybe. It might be tricky because, like, you'd have to pretend to be someone that you're not.
Yeah. I don't really know anybody at Anaximander, right?
I don't think so. No.
Damn.
I mean, you can always use a culture role to try to conjure somebody up, but it wouldn't be Anaximander related. It would be related to one of your other culture skills.
Right. Yeah. You know what? Let me try like my culture Hoveda, since it's plausible that there might be like a Hovedan psychic researcher who would be involved on like a response team like that.
Okay. Yeah, it's gonna be tricky because it's pretty outside your normal kind of purview.
Yeah, that's a charisma roll.
Yeah, it'll be culture Hoveda with charisma.
Okay, I'm hoping for those double sixes. Not quite.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the only people that you know on this planet are like exchange students or some of the professorial staff, that kind of thing. Like Hoveda and Anaximander have a pretty decent relationship academically.
Yeah.
You don't specifically like know anybody necessarily that'll be able to help you for that.
So like what I'm really interested in is data and information regarding like firsthand accounts of experiencing the event. I just want to know what the effect was on the people and like what their effects were. So like maybe there's some way to like get some information of that sort from my contact, whoever.
I don't think that those two things like link up. The best way to do it would be to go and like start asking questions, right? Like find some reason to go and talk to some of the eyewitnesses, see if there's a witness or if anybody remembers any of that stuff.
Yeah, okay. I think I'd probably go to Alfarious. Alfarious feels like he's kind of had my back a lot.
Yeah, the two of you did just finish a stealth mission, so.
Yeah. I think I'd go to Alfarious and I'd say, Alfarious, it might help me understand more about the psychic phenomenon that occurred, and it might help me understand more about what happened to Piani to understand more about the psychic phenomenon. If we went down to the med tent and we simply distributed a questionnaire to the affected people, simply doing research. What do you think?
Sorry. I think it important that if we should do this, we pose as students so as to not alert people.
I think we have like one of those moments in anime where like all of a sudden Eric is wearing a completely different outfit and like he's got like a backpack on and he's got like two little Anaximander flags and he's like, okay.
All right.
And Alfarious like all of a sudden his beard and hair just turns into like thick black rimmed glasses and that's basically all I can do. Yeah. Cool. Maybe a little mustache.
Yeah. Like the little pencil bar mustache or whatever.
And it projects like black pupils over my eyes, like just solid black pupils, like almost cartoony.
I was gonna say, I like how your costume is the like glasses with the plastic nose and the fake mustache, the little Groucho Marx thing. It's good. Yeah.
I shall help you in this, Eric. I'm yielding no results with my space internet searches for anything really regarding Piani. It also dawns on me that if we are not to retrieve her, I'm probably going to have to kill everyone in that police station to get my pistol back.
Oh. That's very true. Okay, we'd better get her back.
Yeah, that'd be more complicated than I think is good.
Mr. Higgins!
I'm just like, I guess I'm still down in the room with Pi rebuilding all that stuff and running through the hypotheticals. So I turn and say, yeah, what is it?
Altharius and I are going to go down to Anaximander and try to get some information from the affected individuals. We'll be back in 2 hours.
The infected individuals, what do you mean?
Affected. The ones who were affected by the psychic phenomenon.
Is that affected with an E or an A? I am actually not entirely sure how this applies.
Well, it's with an A, actually. You see,
I'm over the comment.
Affected is when something touches you and impacts you, whereas affected is when you act on another thing and create an effect.
But Eric, see, that's where lies the dilemma. Who is to say that a manifestation of a psychic ability is not a physical touch? I have read many reports of people that have been affected by people using telekinetic abilities that does physically move objects or even them.
You
this
mean kinda, that...
This starts to like drown out in Higgins' back of his brain, and he just turns around and he goes, Pa, you know why I like you? Because you don't talk as much as they do.
Captain, I'm sorry. I was explaining the difference between E and A in terms of affected or affected, and I wasn't entirely sure what you just said.
Although it was a very scintillating conversation.
Stall for 1 minute, sir, as I play back our conversation.
You see, here's the way it happened. Where...
You were talking to Pi. My apologies.
Yeah, okay. If you think that's going to yield any good results, then go ahead. I'm going to stay here and figure stuff out with Pi.
Yeah. So Adam, before we leave, can I like make a survey, like just go to like spacesurveymonkey.com and like make a survey about the psychic event and be like, you know, have you ever experienced like this before? You know, on a scale of 1 to 10, how positive would you rate the experience?
Yeah, there's
any of these symptoms.
There's actually like a probably a standardized form that the Psychic Academy uses for intake, where it's like when someone undergoes a psychic event, you can walk them through this process. It's part of the like the psychology department that you know you weren't a part of it, but it's something that's fairly easy for you to access.
Yeah. Is it reasonable that I could rely on my knowledge of SciTech to make this survey more effective for me?
It depends on what you're looking for. You want to use the survey and the data you collect from it to help you get a better idea of.
I want to know more about what the psychic event was, whether or not it relates to like the scream phenomenon that happened when I teleported, and whether or not it was related to the crystals.
Sure. Yeah. I don't know if you're necessarily going to be able to do that just with that information alone.
This is like the first step.
You can certainly start there. Yeah, okay. It'll help you categorize it, that kind of thing.
Do you want me to roll, or is it not really a roll thing?
No, it'll be collecting the actual data that'll be the trick.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Cool.
All right, so the two of you are gonna head off to the scene of the event for that?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so Higgs, you're standing amidst the holograms, the holographic reconstruction of the hallway, and these two leave. And I think the thing is it just keeps looping, and maybe it pauses, and there's a like a perfect one-to-one size hologram of Piani just like standing in front of you, and she's sort of turned to look back at Pi, but because of where you're standing, it looks like she's looking right at you, and she's just kind of like flickering.
Yeah,
and Pi has stopped the playback and says, "Do you think she's okay?"
I kind of just—I don't even answer him. I just stare at fucking Piani.
Mm-hmm.
Probably like 10 seconds. I'm just like, I don't know. I don't know, Pi. If I mean, she might be in 30 crystals and dead. We don't know. I don't understand how you let this happen.
I don't know what happened either. She went into the room and everything went haywire. I don't remember anything after that. I've been trying, but it's hard. I'm feeling very confused right now.
Why'd you stop her right here?
I don't know. I guess I wanted to. I can't watch it happen again. It's not helping.
What is she staring? I go and like stand where she's at, so like I'm standing like in her hologram.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you stand and look from her perspective.
Like, Pi, what am I staring at over there?
So you turn and look, and she looks like she's just like looking past Pi's robot body, like at the wall. She's got this kind of haunted look in her face, like she's seeing like through the wall, looking at something that's not there. And Pi says to you, did she tell you about the nightmare she was having?
No.
The last few months, things have been hard for her. After the eye was installed, she was worried that it might have been damaged or faulty in some way. She had been seeing things.
I kind of just like shake my head, snap out of it. I'm like, yep. She wrote. What do you mean? Where are you reading this from? She tell you this?
We talked about it before, several times. She has a journal. Maybe you could look at it.
What came first, the journal or the conversations?
They happened around the same time. Why?
Can you play it back? Do you record it?
I record everything that happens on the ship.
Play back the conversations right now. And tell me where the journal's at. I just have, like, I basically just, like, walk through the ship because I assume it's in Piani's room.
Yeah. So as you walk, the audio of just the conversation, a random conversation between Pi and Piani, comes up and kind of starts echoing off the walls as you walk through it. And yeah, they're talking about a dream that Piani had about a wolf. And it's like listening to a person talk about a nightmare they had right after they had it, right? Where it's half sentences and trying to remember things. It's sort of a non-linear conversation. But yeah, Pi is more than willing to replay some of these things for you. And then Pi gives you access to the information that Piani had stored in the computer about her dreams.
Yeah, I just listen to them and read through the journal like ad nauseum until I've kind of like understood everything that's being written down.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't know how what your interpretation would be, but it's some pretty weird stuff. And it's not just dreams; it's like waking dreams. It's like I was sitting in my computer, and then suddenly I was somewhere else. It sounds like fiction. Like it doesn't make sense necessarily out of context.
Does I guess acting or asking out of character? Does it come up to be like that this is another person, or that she thinks it's another person, or that she's seeing these other sequences through like a different person's eyes or anything like that?
I don't know. What impression on reading your dream journal do you think Higgs would get?
Remember there was like a lot of like going back and notes. It would be like, you know, for example, I'm sure Jeff can relate to this. Like when you take notes in debate, you know, there's sort of like you start to develop your own language that, you know, like you have letters that you circle that just like you can read the rest and know exactly what that signifies. So, I mean, I think there's probably very obvious things that Higgs is able to pull out that are like, oh, this, you know, like this might have been referenced to this or that. But I think that the overall bigger picture is probably more and more confusing as he continues to look at it. Because honestly, like there were some places where Piani was trying to draw connections between places that maybe didn't even have connections. So I would just consider that as you're looking through it.
Okay. I guess after like the, I don't know, so however long it would take to read through it multiple times and hear it multiple times, so several hours maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I think we lose track of time, and Higgs does too, right? Like there's this obvious passage of time, but you don't know how long it's been.
Yeah,
you look up and you're like rubbing your neck, and you like realize you've had your head, you've like been crouched over a computer for, you know, who knows how long. Yeah. And then we get that moment of like a break.
Okay, well, I mean, let's take a break actually then. Yeah. That's a perfect point.
Maybe we see Higgs, like you just like lean back and like, like you're like all sweaty and like tired, and all this time has passed. Just, you know, with the images of all of Piani's like kind of sketched journals up on all the screens.
Yeah, exactly. All right, cool. Let's take our first break. The show will be 3 hours tonight, not four. So we'll come back and go to the second hour, and we'll be right back. More Swan Song coming up right after this. We'll see you guys then.